up for Peter? Peter just showed up, and then God really showed up. And it's wonderful how that happened. I mean, here Peter is, and he's just telling the gospel. And really, despite him, and despite really a lot of his prejudices, boom, the Holy Spirit just comes down upon the people that are listening, the whole group of them. Well, you know, sometimes it's just about showing up, and God can take over. One of my favorite memories of that is serving as a short-term missionary in Colombia and going down to shoot some baskets at the neighborhood park and just showing up. And I'm shooting around, and all of a sudden, long story short, jump in on a pickup game. And pretty quick, it's like, you know, easy to identify, okay, this guy, he's the go-to guy. And so all of a sudden, he's the best guy on their side, and I'm taller, you know, and I'm the best guy on our side. And so we end up having this great sparring and a great kind of matchup. And so afterwards, you know, he invites me to a Coke, and I'm kind of have a Coca-Cola. Got to say that in Colombia, Coca-Cola. So, and I'm kind of going, I don't know about this guy. Kind of seem, you know, a little bit rough around the edges. And he was just a real, you know, he had just a brief conversation. Nothing great came out of it. But then we started getting together to just play one-on-one after that. And it was subsequently, a couple, three conversations later, he asked me, so tell me what it is you believe. And, okay, kind of like Peter, I'm just, well, you know, here's what I believe. And, you know, all based in the Bible. All of a sudden he becomes really animated. He's like, you know what? That's exactly how I feel like a relationship with God should be. I mean, as I read my Bible, and I've never gotten that out of the Catholic Church. And he's just really getting excited. Well, I ended up leading the guy to Christ. So, you know, going to do some discipleship and lined it up. And we did start meeting for discipleship. But soon after that, I got transferred to Barranquilla. This was in Medellin. And so, you know, I left. And I didn't have contact with him. About 6-8 months later, I come back to visit Medellin. And I run into him. It's Mauricio. And, you know, this guy's just got some amazing leadership potential. Also, he's really into me. He goes, you got to help me. He goes, I started this Bible study with this group of guys. They're thieves and ruffians, on the edge of town. And they're asking me some really good questions. And I don't even have the answers all the time. You got to help me. I'm like, whoa, wow. Anyway, I hook him up with a pastor. And then I leave again for Barranquilla. And then I leave Colombia. I haven't been back since. And I'm dying to get back and find out if I can even find him. You know, what's happened to Mauricio? But I've been telling you guys, the results are not up to you. It's not up to us. I don't know. I don't know what the results are. But that was just one very cool experience. We're just showing up and what? To play basketball led to this guy coming to Christ, and then all of a sudden he's like this Bible study leader for a bunch of thugs. How cool is that? So, what we got to do sometimes, though, is overcome our prejudices to be able to step out. My sermon title is Moving Out. So I want to go back to Peter and the Peter story, because here he is at Cornelius' house, all right? And just to give you a little bit of context, so Cornelius is this Roman centurion, and he's a God-fearing man and also very generous to the poor. So much so, a God-fearing man, generous to the poor, that God smiles down upon him. God sends an angel and says, what you need to do is go to this city, send some people, look for Simon Peter. He's staying in the house of Simon the Tanner. Go to such and such a place and have him come back. He's got a message for you. Wow. And it's this angel. So he does just that. So, but while these three servants that he sent are still approaching, Peter has this vision. And this is very important, because for a good Jew, you will not step into the house of a Gentile. That is verboten. That's forbidden. It would kind of be like, say, occupied Holland, 1940, 41, something like that, when the Nazis, the Germans, have occupied Holland. It'd kind of be like a Holland guy, a Dutch guy going, and going to the house of a Nazi commander. And then, like, hanging out for a few days. Trust me, if that Dutch man came back to his group of Dutch friends, they're going to want to know what is up. Right? All right? So certainly, and after Peter goes and spends that time with Cornelius' house and Cornelius' family and friends, oh, he's got to give an account to the Jews. They are wondering, what were you thinking? But leading up to this, God gives Peter this weird vision. You know, and he's up on his roof, he's praying, feeling a little hungry. All of a sudden, this like blanket-like thing comes down. It's got all these forbidden animals that a good Jew is not supposed to eat anything from those animals. And a voice says, kill and eat these. He's like, no, I'd never do that. I'm a good Jew, I'd never do that. So three times the message is, and then the message comes back to him, don't call anything clean, unclean that God has declared clean. Peter's just, all of a sudden, the vision goes away, and Peter scratches his head, what in the world is this? Knock, knock, knock. The three servants from Cornelius show up at the house. So Peter knows right away. All right, invite him in. And they tell him what's up, and Cornelius has sent for him. Okay, let's go. So the next day, they go, and they go to Cornelius' house, and then what Gary read happens. Peter's just telling them, well, this is the gospel message, and boom, the Holy Spirit comes down on all of them. And Peter and the other Jews that came with them, they're just shocked at this. I mean, this is just bizarre to them. I thought we're Jews. I thought Jesus, I mean, Jesus is a Jew. He's our God. He's not your God. I'm not even supposed to be here. So, basically, what I'm trying to communicate to you is, for Peter, this was really stepping out of his comfort zones. I mean, really a stretch way out there. But that's God. And God's been up to that. And it's just not an isolated experience. I mean, you look at Jesus, who were the kind of people he was hanging out with? A lot of unsavory folks. I mean, he started to get a bad rap with the Pharisees. How can he say he's a teacher? I mean, he's hanging around with prostitutes, publicans, tax collectors. I mean, it'd almost be like Jesus hanging out at the boats and hanging out at the nightclubs and, you know, with the bartenders and the girls of the night. What? Yeah, that's the reputation Jesus was getting. And when, you know, he's there at the Samaritan in Samaria, and the woman comes, Samaritan at the well, that story, I don't know if you remember that story, but I mean, again, that was just, and for the disciples to come back, and Jesus is talking to a woman, and she's a Samaritan woman at that. But think of Jonah. God says, I want you to go to preach in Nineveh. Heavens, no! You know the story. He gets up and goes the opposite direction. But God is all about that, just breaking down our prejudices, breaking down our prejudices, even trying to get us to go and minister to people that we really don't even want to minister to. We wouldn't be caught dead hanging around. I mean, so Sandy, I'll tell you what, let's just go to a brothel. Let's do some ministry at a brothel. What do you think? What do you think? Huh? All right. Okay. Mary, how about next week? You know, there's this nightclub down there. You know, all these, you know, let's go talk to some of the women dancers. Let's just hang out with them. All right? I mean, huh? What? But this is what God wants to do and what he's about. I mean, I can't wait for the day when all of a sudden Dewey walks in. He's got this skinhead, you know, walking with him. Hey, Pastor Steve wants to introduce you to my neighbor, Spike. What? Come on. You know? Or, you know, if all of a sudden Victoria shows up and she's like, you know, hey, Pastor Steve, by the way, she's just like this hardcore lesbian. But she's a friend of mine, and I invited her to church. Here she is. You know? This is what God's about. This is what God's up to. All right? I want you to know it. So if God really is going to do a work, these are the kind of people that might start showing up at church. Are you ready for that? We'll see. We've got to overcome our prejudices, all right? Our issue, I think, and I fear, is that too often we just view people like that as just sinners we'd like to avoid, as opposed to a person who needs the Savior. I mean, when you rub shoulders, not even rub shoulders, when you come across people, the unsavory type, do you view them as a sinner that you'd rather avoid, or somebody who desperately needs a Savior? There needs to be that shift, and there needs to be a passion for them. A while back, I was watching this video, and it was this self-defense guy, Tony Blauer. Really cool guy, actually. Teaches this weekend self-defense course, and I was watching some video clips, and he was trying to help trigger in especially women's minds, you got to go ballistic, you got to go berserk. Don't let these bad things happen to you, all right? But far too often, and this guy's in law enforcement, and he knows far too often, women in a situation, in a bad situation, they just get paralyzed and don't do anything, and then the bad things happen. And he's trying to teach these women, you know, just this, get this click to where they give them permission, go berserk, all right? Well, he's recounting the story about he's got this group of women, and he's trying to give them the self-defense course, and he realizes the timidity level is just off the charts. So he gives them this story, and I'm not going to go into the vivid details he does, but basically what he's trying to do is explain to them, so what if it wasn't you, but what if it was one of your children? And he sets up this scenario, paints a scenario, and when he gets that point where, and it's graphic, and he's talking about, you know, and you come upon a scene, and it's your child, these women went berserk. They're up out of their seats. They're cussing. They're just, well, how could you even put that image in my mind? I'll tell you what I'd do to that guy. I would grab him and I'd tear his head off. They're going just ballistic. He's like, yeah. Okay. If it was for your kid, what about you? Would you? And bottle that intensity up. Do it, you know? And anyway, now what am I talking about? Well, the point I'm trying to make is, you know what? The devil's M.O., as Jesus put it, is to kill, to steal, and destroy. And the way Peter puts it, he says he's like this raging lion. 1 Peter 5:8, he says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now imagine this. What would you do, you know, if you came upon people that were bound, and this enemy, this horrible figure, is over them, ready to just brutalize them? What would you do? I want to give you this image. This is your neighbor. And the devil's got him bound by sin. And he's trying to make a hell on earth for them, and then drag them into hell. And what are you going to do? I think there needs to be that, I'll go a little berserk, a little just, And what if it's a family member? I mean, are we just going to sit passively by while these people are just being bound by sins and just messed up, and their lives are just torn apart, and it's just destruction, and it creates waves of destruction, and they're just being dragged into hell? Are we going to go a little nuts here? So I'm not telling you, you know, you just got to go up to them and, what are you doing? Don't go to that party! I'm not recommending going berserk like that. Sorry, David, I didn't mean to traumatize you. Okay. But could we just get on our knees and just pour out our souls and go berserk in prayer for them? And then here's the thing too. And now I'm gonna reference over that John 15 text that Gary was talking about. Because God kept saying, and I don't know if you heard it, But he kept talking about, and it's Jesus talking about, what is his command? Love each other. It's to love other people. It's to love others. And what is, how can we love Jesus? Obey his commands. What are your commands? To love other people. It's that simple? Yeah. Love God with all your heart, all your strength, all your soul, your mind, and then love others as yourself. I mean, it comes down to this. It's all boiled down. It's so simple. And so really what Jesus is asking us to do is step out of our comfort zones, but I mean maybe way out of our comfort zones, and start hanging out with people that you normally wouldn't hang out with, not as a good Christian at least, and just love on them. Love them. What does that look like? So Monday I'm kind of preparing the sermon, and I think it was God inspiring me. I think he wanted to set me up. I really do. And I felt like he was saying, hey, Steve, why don't you practice what you're going to preach this week? You know? Because it's been a while since you've really stepped out like that. I mean, it's so easy as a missionary. I've been back from the mission field for over a year now. So he's like, I want you to step out. All right. Okay, God, you set it up. So it was just a very interesting week. It's like that same day I go to work out at the Y and saw this young lady start. She grabbed some kettlebells, and so if you don't know it, I'm a level 2 certified kettlebell trainer. I'm like, hey, good to see those kettlebells are getting some use. You know, start up a conversation. You know, she's a Christian, ends up actually served as a missionary in Africa. We had this nice conversation. So then Tuesday, what happened Tuesday? Oh, so I'm back in Princeton. And at a park trying to, you know, spend some time, alone time with God. And all of a sudden, my friend Terry shows up. He's a policeman. I've been looking for this guy for like 5 or 6 months. And every time I see a police car in Princeton, I'm like, oh, is that Terry? Lord, please pray for Terry and his wife, Jamie. We need to pray for his wife, Jamie. Man, she is going through horrible stuff. I mean, just deathly ill. And so I end up having this hour-long conversation, just ministry with Terry and Jamie, and just, you know, again, I wasn't even expecting that. Just he showed up. It wasn't even me. So then Wednesday, I'm back at the Y. Now I'm not spending all my time at the Y when I'm here in Molina, but you know, I'm trying to get my workout in, stress reliever. And hear a couple guys speak in Spanish in the next row over, and in the locker room. So I just come around and start speaking Spanish, you know, and da 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 da. Long story short, all of a sudden this one guy, Timothy, you know, Timoteo, he goes, oh, you're a pastor? You got to pray for me, man. And he starts telling me, he's like, I've been diagnosed with COPD and my heart is really bad. Please pray for me. I'm like, I'll pray for you right now. So, you know, I prayed for Timoteo right then, you know. And then Thursday was really bizarre. We're here and doing cleaning the carpets, and I went to get some dinner and thought, I'm going to get some decaf coffee. So took your advice, Leah, and went over to the BP because they got the coffee and the donuts, you know, so the donut coffee special and all the foo-foo stuff you can put in your coffee. And so went into the BP, the gas station, get some decaf coffee. And so I asked the lady, I'm like, so how much is it if I don't get the donut? How much is it for a large coffee? She says, $1.79. I said, oh, so just 20 cents more for the donut. Might as well get the donut. So I prepare my coffee, you know, go back up to the counter. I go, now where are the donuts? She goes, Oh, well, they're coming any time, but we're out right now. I go, nah, you know, that's just God's way of telling me. He's not going to let me cheat today. I said, I hate it when God tries to keep me, you know, on my diet. So I'm just kind of joking around. All of a sudden, you know, she makes some comment like, yeah, God works in mysterious ways. And she starts telling me about this heartache, you know, that with her estranged daughter. You know, sometimes you just got to show up. Sometimes love on people. I'm just talking about being friendly. I'm just talking about stepping up and shaking somebody's hand and introducing you. I don't know, starting a conversation. What I'm trying to tell you is it's not that difficult. Please don't hear me and feel like, I don't know about sharing my faith. Oh, I'm a little intimidated by that. You know, if the shoes seem too big for you, step into them anyway and watch how God will make your feet grow. There's this verse in Philemon 6 that says, and I pray you may be active in sharing your faith, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ Jesus. Cool. So he's saying, I pray that you would be active in sharing your faith. So, Philemon 6, I'm giving it to you. People, be active in sharing your faith. And, you know, if you feel awkward about that, if I don't know if I'm mature enough, I don't know if I say it right, I don't know if I know enough, I get nervous, just know that God will be faithful to grow your feet when you step into those shoes. He's going to do it, all right? Just put yourself out there and just love on people. It really is as simple as that. So, go where they are. Sometimes, I mean, in other words, don't wait for these people to show up here, okay? Go where they are. And again, maybe just go a few extra steps. And it might be as simple as go across the street and welcome that new neighbor. That's simple, you know? We don't do that these days, do we? Well, maybe God's going to tell you, all right, stop and visit that bar. That's another story. I remember as a youth pastor in Carroll Stream, Illinois, and I just felt God tell me to stop in a bar. Yeah, I did. And ended up having a pretty good conversation that first time with this guy. It was kind of a little weird, but pretty good conversation. But then the second time I did it, it was this African-American guy that I said, you know, I think he sat down next to me. Long story short, after a short conversation, when he finds out I'm a Christian and everything, and this guy just starts pouring his heart out to me. And he was this backslidden Christian. And right then, we pray in the bar, and then he chastises me for even being in the bar after that. And I didn't go back. Sometimes God will just, kind of like Peter, just give you this bizarre instruction. So sometimes, you need to go where they are deliberately. I mean, Hebrews 13, 12 and 13, I love it. It says, "And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gates to make the people holy through His own blood. Let us then go to Him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace He bore." Let us then go to Him, go to Jesus outside the camp, outside the church, and bearing that disgrace that He bore. What disgrace was that? Friend of prostitutes and publicans. Yeah. Bearing the shame that He bore. All right, so we go deliberately. We go prayerfully. When you go, especially if you're going to go to these dark places, you better pray. You better pray. For a couple of years, when I was an inner-city missionary in Chicago, we'd go out once a week with Emmaus Ministries, and we'd walk around where the male prostitutes would hang out, because Emmaus does evangelism and outreach to male prostitutes. Those were some dark streets in Chicago. I mean, just heavy. You could feel the heaviness. So we'd always go out in twos, and so with my ministry partner, we would sing. We would sing praise songs as we walked around. And I've got some stories there too, but you pray. You pray. And get people to pray for you, all right? And then, point three I got there, trust God to help you to grow. Again, Philemon talks about it, but so does 2 Corinthians 9:8, and I love this. "And God is able to make all grace abound, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." Now, was it, "And God will give you a little"? Is that what you heard? He'll help you a little. No. "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." Just trust. God's gonna give it to you. So open your eyes and hearts to those already around you. Neighbors, people you work with, people you run into at the gym, whatever. Keep your eyes and hearts open. Meet a need. Sometimes it's just as simple as meeting a need. Starting there. And I put some ready-made outreach opportunities. Wouldn't you know? Youth Hope. Who's that? Oh, Christian Friendliness. Yeah, we remember them as that. Youth Hope, right down the street. Right there. And Love Hope, Pastor Dwayne. I'm just saying, there's some wonderful opportunities to get out of our comfort zones and go hang out with some phenomenal missionaries doing some phenomenal work right here. You don't even have to go to Greece, although I'm sure Magda would welcome it, and we would love to go. Maybe. We'll have to pray about that. I'm just saying, there's some ready-made opportunities right there for you. So, and don't sweat it. Leave the results up to God. Just, all you got to do is step out, love on people, and just leave the results up to God. And if this person doesn't have a dramatic conversion, it's okay. It's okay. But the day it happens, joy. Joy. And that's what Jesus said in John 15:11. He said, I've told you this about obeying His commands, loving on people. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. It'll be complete joy. Big time. So, tell you what, I'm going to pray. But be careful now. Listen up. I'm praying specifically God sets you up like He did me this last week. All right? So, eyes and hearts open. I think God wants to do some things and use you. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, yeah, wow us. And set up some amazing encounters, Lord God, among this church body. Please, do some things that really would astound us. And as we go out just looking for opportunities, looking for people to share your love with, Lord God, make some things happen. And glorify yourself in this. That same verse that I mentioned, praying for Magda. Boy, the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. But Lord God, got a lot of workers here. And so for every single one of them that would open their heart to this, I just pray you would bless them with some great encounters and help them to share your love and to build up your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.